The Survivor Specialist Phil, John, and McKenna are back, and we have another defining episode for you. Today, we are talking about Stephanie LaGrosa from Survivor Palau originally, and that's where we're going. We are going to episode number 9 from Survivor Palau, I Will Not Give Up. This is the episode after she beat Bobby John. We were really up in the air of, should it be the one where she beats Bobby John at Fire and then becomes the last remaining, or should it become this one? And we all decided it's like, if we're really talking about Stephanie and what defined her and what made her an icon and why she's about to play for the fourth time and she's been on Snake in the Grass and she's been on the Traders and she's married to an MLB pitcher, it is this episode. Because for the first 15 minutes of this episode, we see something we've never seen on Survivor before. And it probably does lead to a lot of the twists that we see in the future, even though I know Palau has a little bit of Exile Island. But why Exile Island works is because it was really compelling to watch Stephanie be a tribe of one after all of Oolong is gone. And then swap onto a tribe or get absorbed by a tribe and start to play the game as kind of that middle person. Super fascinating and super entertaining. And honestly, this is such a fun episode to rewatch. Palau is such an up and down season, but this is such a good episode to rewatch. So excited to talk about Stephanie and what if this so far, every episode we've talked about has really meant a lot for the people who are playing coming up. I think this is probably the one that matters the least, because Stephanie's not going to be a tribe of one at any point and be absorbed by another tribe. So it's still her defining moment, but it doesn't matter, I think, as much as the previous four that we've done.
I think it's great that you brought up Exile Island, because I made a note while watching this. This feels more impactful than an Exile Island. When I'm coming from a state of knowing and watching so many seasons that have an exile in it, including this one, like you said, but watching this scene, knowing that she doesn't know what's coming. She's thinking, I'm going to go to an immunity challenge as just me, and having to navigate the island and the daily chores as just a tribe of one is so much more, you know, emotional and driven than being like, I just have to survive these few days out on exile, and I'm just going to conserve as much energy as possible and lay on a beach, or, you know, maybe look for an idol. But there was not that instance here, obviously.
This is the episode that made Stephanie America's darling. Mm-hmm. This is the episode that made it so that Stephanie and Bobby John came back the following season. This is the reason why Stephanie is a hero on Heroes versus Villains, despite being one of the greatest villains in Survivor history in Guatemala. This is one of the more defining episodes of Survivor. And I remember you couldn't get away from this as Palau aired. Like, Stephanie was just, it was so huge. And it's the first time we ever see a tribe of one. And if we don't count Exile, which we can't really, because they're still on their tribes technically, this is the only time we've had a tribe of one. And it's so important because the producers spend no time just like leaving you in limbo. Just what's going to happen here? We're further than any. This Palau is so weird because there's only 9 people left in the game at this point. There should have been a merge at this point. But instead, Stephanie, Bobby John had to go at it for Fire, and Stephanie's here by herself and she's struggling. And weird foreshadow moment where
you did steal it from both of us. I know she almost dislocates her shoulder with the damn branch. It's so crazy.
Yeah, like talk about a defining moment in Stephanie's Survivor career. She talks about throwing dislocating her shoulder when she does it 2 seasons later. I mean, talk about an episode that really defines a character.
I know. It's great. I know. When I heard that, my note is almost dislocates her shoulder, ... yay. Because I was so excited that we were going to be able to talk about that on here. I never noticed that until this time. It's very funny. I never really picked up on that because it is such a random line that she says. But yeah, I think John hits it on the head. This is when she became America's sweetheart, right? There was no way she couldn't be a hero after this, despite the fact that in 2 of her seasons, she's a villain. Could even argue in Palau she's a villain. Like, she's kind of like,
she has some villainous tendencies because I mean, the people she ends up working with aren't exactly the most heroic of people, despite what people might think.
I mean, so that's where when I end up looking at Stephanie's game overall, it's pretty fascinating, because I do think that out of all of the people that we've talked about so far, and I know McKenna did say that Colby can be a dick, although Colby, I have a shrine of him like, hey, Arnold back here, so it doesn't matter. But like, I feel like when you talk about Stephanie, she might be the most differently portrayed of what we saw on TV versus who she really was, right? Mm-hmm. This first season was so, they needed to build up this story of this underdog female who goes in, is the last remaining person on her tribe, and then survives two episodes more. You have to make sure that you really, really show that off. You're not going to ever put her in a bad light. But then when we see her in Guatemala, people are pretty disappointed in her. And then in Heroes versus Villains, a lot of people have a lot of strong words for her, particularly James. But I do think that she's coming into this season now where people have kind of forgotten that she was America's sweetheart, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the old school people remember, but I do think a lot of the new era people probably remember Stephanie from Heroes Villains more than they do from Palau at this point, maybe even Guatemala, because I don't know if they've even watched Guatemala or Palau. I feel like they, a lot of these people, if they're just getting into it or if they're going around and they're bouncing around, they're going to remember Heroes versus Villains a lot better than they're going to remember Palau or Guatemala these days. Because it's the season that maybe you've rewatched a couple times, and if you've been binge watching, you've gone there more often than the others on a binge watch. So I actually think that even though this is her defining episode and Survivor fans would probably unanimously agree with that, I don't think that it's really going to matter to a lot of the people she's about to play this game with.
She also drops out of the challenge for food here. One crazy, because she is the one person coming into a full tribe, but also in like all of her seasons, we don't really see it much in Heroes versus Villains, but like she's talked about as eating everyone out of house and home. Mm-hmm. So like she'd rather have this food than immunity. So, I mean, if you're looking to hold on to Stephanie, either your rice might be gone by day two, or you have someone that will definitely drop out of a temptation challenge.
I mean, and let's just do this real quick so that we can all understand how well Stephanie has been eating. Just throw this out there. Kyle Kendrick, her husband, made over $24 million in his MLB career. So she's still eating well, McKenna. And I don't think that she's going to be ready to eat so poorly maybe when she walks out here. And
look, she also has all those Gino's filet mignon pizzas.
That is true. I know. I'm over here and I'm like, I'm giving her a hard time, but I think it's good points of a lot of the things that we've seen about Stephanie probably haven't changed. They might actually be like exacerbated by this point, a little bit more, but, yeah, I hear what you're saying with that. And on this, in this episode, in her defining episode, we don't hear about her eating, right? Like we see her jump off of that. But what we're really seeing at the Karor camp is everybody coming to her being like, here's what's happening here. I mean, Kobe in this episode is so freaking funny, but yes. It's like, come to me here. I got to tell you everything. Now I want to tell you everything. Now, don't you want to be our friend? Oh my God, Katie, Tom, are you guys still with me? Like, it's very fascinating to see her kind of fall into this swing position because Karor hasn't played the game yet. So we don't get to hear really too many of her negatives in this episode. It is very positive.
But is she really the swing position? She is just there for the majority of the time. Like, granted, yes, they are giving her information, and she could have really done some damage had she actually trusted Kobe and taken all the information, because he had everything spot on, was telling her what was going to happen to her if he didn't go with if she didn't go with Kobe. And what happens is she, you know, gets booted. So similar to Joe, where, you know, Joe was duped, we see Stephanie duped here a little bit, where she doesn't have that full control of someone in this position come a swap.
I think the biggest problem was, and I think Stephanie could probably figure it out from what was being said here. And again, this is the first drama in Palau in a long mm-hmm. time. The first drama surrounding Karor at all, because they voted Willard out. So duh.
Yeah.
And so when you watch this, seven people do vote for Kobe. So I think at the end of the day, they were never actually going to be able to get five people to vote with Kobe and Jadu. So Stephanie has no choice but to go along with this, especially since the tribal council takes place immediately after the challenge. So they don't actually go back to camp to be able to discuss. There's no time in the scheme. It's already been determined by that point. So it was like, she would have had to get Karen or Greg or Jen. Like, there would have had to be so many people involved in making that happen. And her best move really was to just integrate herself because, you know, the thing is, what happens in her second season? Danny gets the final seven and Danny wins. Stephanie gets to final seven. Unfortunately for her, there wasn't a 3-3 split on this season. If there was, she could have easily gone to the end of the season, just like Danny does one season later.
Yeah.
There's something I think a little more important about Stephanie's game relating to the new era in this season. And that is all the discussion around the fact that the connection she made on that first day of Palau, because everyone who hasn't watched Palau in a long time, 20 people on one beach for a single day before they get split into tribes. Everyone's making connections. She makes this connection with Tom, Ian, and Katie that is strong enough that they all feel very comfortable with her in this situation when she does show up on the tribe. But we even see Jen say how she feels really connected to Stephanie and like is wary of her, but still feels that connection because of those first 24 hours together. We're looking at a game that we are all assuming at this point is two people getting voted throughout the entire pre-merge with like a day in between. There's not as much scheming, and you have like those first impressions are going to be so important. If Stephanie can still make a great first impression, she's going to be in a really great spot going into 50.
Now, do you think she can make a good first impression though? With everything, no. Like with just how much she's played Survivor and with this cast, do you think that she will make a good first impression?
I'm out on Stephanie. This episode, she should have either been voted out or like ingrained in some form of alliance, and she was neither.
And she's just there.
She's just there. And she would have gone home the next episode had Janu not, you know, wanted to quit for her. So it like she only lasts these further episodes in this season. And the only reason she comes back for Guatemala is because of the situation on Oolong. I don't know if we're talking about Stephanie LaGrossa had they just done a swap or a merge in Palau.
That's a very good point, McKenna. And I think that is kind of people's concerns of Stephanie going into this. I mean, a lot of people said, like, I never watched Snake in the Grass. I don't know if either of you two watched the episode of Snake in the Grass. But she was the snake and like was kind of underwhelming in that, from what I understand. She was kind of underwhelming on the Traitors as well. But is it also coming in with some baggage with some of these other players, which could lead to, I think, her coming off that negative impression at the beginning. I think she is going to be too hard on some of these players she's associated with in the past and insisted on getting them out of the game. And I think that might be what puts her in trouble, because she's just going to rub people the wrong way by going that ever-long question in the new era of like, how much strategy is too much strategy at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, she's probably not going to end up on a tribe with any of the people that she's played with before. Like, I don't think they're going to put her and Suri or Colby on the same starting tribe. I think that would be kind of crazy. But I do think, like, Stephanie in her three games, and I'm not trying to be rude here, but doesn't really show a lot of game, right? Like,
I was going to say the same thing.
Like, she's on that Oolong tribe that's a disaster, and she's useful, which most of them are not, which is why she's able to survive that early portion. And I'm not going to take anything away. It's impressive that you are the last remaining person from your tribe of nine. There is no denying that. However, Jeff quits, essentially. Kim doesn't want to be there. Like, it's such a disaster of a tribe that it just starts to make sense with Stephanie. As soon as she gets the Karora, it's like you said, McKenna, we see in this episode, Kobe goes because he's a threat. And if Janu doesn't quit, she probably goes. Then she comes and plays Guatemala. She's got celebrity status, which protects her early. And she gets one vote in the final tribal council. And then in Heroes Villain, she's the second person voted out. But that lack of game, if people do go back and watch Palau, knowing Stephanie's going to be on the season, you go back and watch Palau and you go, this was America's sweetheart strictly because of circumstance, not because of actually anything that she does, which might make her somebody you would rather align with in this
game. Yeah, she could be a very valuable ally, because you could just be like, tell her where to vote. She could just be that number that, you know, she should have been in this episode of Palau, because we didn't see much for strategy on traitors. We didn't see much for strategy. Like, so she could just be that sounding board of, I need to talk this out to someone. I don't necessarily need feedback from it, but I just need to be able to connect the dots. And she could be that and could be at the end again. I could see Stephanie sitting at the end, but I don't see her winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie's greatest enemy in this game is going to be herself and her perception of herself and her perception of her survivor self in particular. Is she still holding on to that American sweetheart vibe that she had in Palau? I think she's kind of overcome it at this point after playing twice more since then.
Oh, yeah.
But does she also think she's like this fantastic strategic player? Or does she have the awareness to know that she's not that great of a strategic player and that she is just this like real big name? Is Stephanie someone who should be on Survivor 50? Probably. If we're like really doing this retrospect of like the legendary players of the game, she kind of fits into that category. But does she have the awareness to know why she fits in that category?
And I will say that, like, if you're going to talk about it from that standpoint, I Will Never Give Up is probably one of the most iconic episodes of the entire show. This was still when, you know, 18 million, 19 million people were watching live, or maybe it was a little bit less than that, but whatever. A lot of people still watching live. This happens. This was the story. This is all anybody was talking about. Like, she still definitely hits that legendary status. I think the biggest problem for Stephanie is, like, with some of these players, they can come in, they can be a little quiet early on. We see Stephanie kind of be quiet in this episode, but only because Kobe is so loud. If Kobe wasn't so loud, who knows how Stephanie comes in? And she's also been humbled so badly on this season. Stephanie's a big personality. I see this all the time. Like, same area of New Jersey that my mom grew up and my aunt grew up and my grandparents still live. Like, I know the people from this area of New Jersey. It's a very, you know, just to be frank, a very fuck you mentality. And so when I look at Stephanie, it's like, if somebody comes at her, it's not like, oh, I haven't played in 15 years, so I'm going to suddenly be so nice to everybody. It's like, no, I haven't played in 15 years. You're going to come at me. I don't need the $1 million. I'm just competitive as hell. Get out of my face. So that's how I think it's going to go for Stephanie early on. I think she's going to be loud.
And I also worry about her decision-making and her choices, because Jeff asked her at Tribal Council, how safe do you feel? No. It was like, what are the odds of you getting voted out? And she's like, I feel like, you know, out of 10, an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
And he's like, so why did you drop out for pizza? She was like, I'm hungry. Yeah. And, you know, and then he's like, so if you get voted out, are you going to regret that? She's like, yeah, it will be one of the biggest regrets of my life. And it's like, if you know that, then why did you drop out? If you know it, the odds are against you with going home, could it be flash for the show? Yes. But I still think there was a snap decision-making process that could bite her in the butt.
Can I defend her real quick? Sure. They won 3 rewards the entire pre-merge.
Yeah.
And let me see. So it was episode 6, episode 2, and episode
3. We've already talked about our eating habits.
Yeah. So in episode 2, the reward was a snorkeling set. That tribe couldn't catch shit. In episode 3.
Pringles.
The reward was a sewing kit. And then in episode 6 is when it was Pringles. So she got her Pringles and Mai Tais, but other than that, had not eaten anything and was probably starving. And she's on a tribe where even when they got the fishing kit, they couldn't do anything. I have to be a little defensive there. I mean, by this point, you're on to day, 20? Oh, it was like 19, 20 million people.
They just taught them how to fish.
And yeah, but she's yeah, I know, but still, I feel like it's day 24. Eat up. You got to be feeling good.
$1 million.
She was also literally just told by Tom before the challenge that she was not in any danger of going home.
I get it.
Ken is a hater of anybody preseason 10. That's what I've learned from this season. Don't worry, everybody. We're going back to Camilla next.
I am here for.
We're coming back for Camilla next, everybody. And McKenna will be so excited to talk about 48, her favorite season ever. So that's what we're coming to.
I think based on what McKenna was saying earlier and this idea of the questions of Stephanie's decisions, I think another thing is, one thing we see in this episode is Kobe pulls her aside and they talk and they have this conversation of like, okay, this is what's going down. I'm breaking everything down. And she immediately tells Jen and Katie everything that was said in that conversation. I think that's more what I would be concerned with Stephanie, is her impulsive nature to just overshare information in a strategic sense. We see it from her in Guatemala. We see it from her in Heroes versus Villains, right? Like, there's just no filter for what information she should hold close to her chest. And in the new era, that's going to be very dangerous.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about her, I don't think she's going to get along with the new era people very much at all. Jonathan, I could see her getting along with. Maybe Joe, because Joe's just a workhorse and stuff. But, like, she's not getting along with Camilla. She's not getting along with Emily. She's not – I mean, she could get along with Dee, honestly. But she's maybe going to get along with Genevieve. I don't know. It's just, like, I don't see a lot of avenues for Stephanie in this season. So,
yeah.
Well, like I said, next episode, we're talking about Camilla. So everybody tune into that one. We're going to be talking about The House Party's Over, the Thomas Boot episode number 4 of Survivor 48. And then we're done with 48. We can move on, finally. My goodness. So thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you think about Stephanie's shot on Survivor 50. Let us know if we got the right episode for her defining episode. Become a patron, patreon.com/aspecialist, and we'll see you next time with Camilla.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.